You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
That was an oldie but goodie, Anthony. Very dated at this point.
Man, I forgot about it.
Back in the day, you're just like, let me see what this old standing wood is. When Ben used to co-host the show with us, and the Commanders stink. Now, Ben's got a Substack that's great that you should subscribe to. He's doing his thing covering the team, and the team is good. Let's talk about it in Not My Beat. The last man standing is where you can go. Check it out on Substack. Subscribe for the one and only Ben Standig's Commanders coverage. Ben, what's up, my guy? How are you?
Craig, I am doing well. Yeah, the world has changed a lot since I was joining you and Anthony in studio. Well, what a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. I also just realized on the YouTube stream, I got to change your graphic. I got to get the Substack in the graphic. So I'll work on that as you answer my questions here. Or people can just stare at my face blankly, staring into the camera as I ask you, or as you answer the questions that I ask you. But as you left, I'll start off here, Ben. This is the question I've asked everyone that I've talked to that was at practice yesterday. Like, as you're leaving Foxborough, down that one winding road that gets you out of that place, what's the kind of prevailing thought you had heading out of that joint practice yesterday?
I mean, bigger picture, you know, I think they were fine. You know, I mean, the defense, I think, had some moments. They were also, you know, picked apart a little bit by Drake May. I think Jaden Daniels did his thing, but the receiver room showed its, you know, weaknesses without Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown in there. So, you know, I think, you know, as far as we know, no injury. So all that, you know, relatively good. Get a test against for your guys against another team. But, you know, at the same point, you know, some of the concerns, particular receiver, you know, it puts an emphasis on the guy who's not there, as we know, in Terry McLaurin. And I think that was probably the biggest takeaway, I think, for most of us. Even if we know he's going to be back at some point, or we assume that, until he is, this is the group we're looking at. It was not the best day.
So, in theory, Ben, that should give McLaurin some leverage, because it's like, hey, Adam, like, you saw practice. You know that this isn't going great without me. In reality, with where these two sides are and how dug in it appears they are, like, does it actually move the needle at all?
I'd probably say it probably doesn't. You know, just because we think that, A, doesn't mean that the team thinks that. You know, if Noah Brown is out there, which, you know, admittedly is a question because of his injury history and he's dealing with his knee issue right now, you know, he's not a go-to receiver, but okay, it makes the room a little bit better if you have him out there with Deebo Samuel. Now, maybe if you have, you know, Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler, you swing Ekeler out, you have two tight ends. Like, you can, you know, manufacture a few things here and there as needed. It's just, you know, without McLaurin, you don't have that obvious deep threat. And but I don't know that Adam Peters is going to change his tune, whatever, you know, whatever exactly that tune is. If they start the year, say they lose to the Giants unexpectedly and then fall at Green Bay on that Thursday and they're 0-2, I think that's where, okay, we don't have enough receiver right now, clearly, that we're falling into a hole. We got to do something. But until something dramatic like that, I don't really know that it's going to move the needle.
Ben Standig with us. Check out his Substack, Last Man Standig, for all of his coverage. He's doing live chats. He's doing podcasts as well as the written content there. Just one more quick one on McLaurin. How long do you think he needs to ramp up? Like, one, we don't know the severity of the ankle injury, but then there's Dan Quinn's constant refrain of, like, we won't skip steps. So how long does he need to be in camp or in practice, if we've switched over to that mode, before he is ready to play in a regular season game?
I feel like this is a better question for somebody who might be a personal trainer. But, I mean, look, obviously, you know, here's the thing that's kind of always can be, it's getting more and more confusing as we go into these preseasons. Obviously, the players who are there in practice, or at least, you know, they're getting the reps in practice. They did it again yesterday. But, you know, unless they're playing in the game, as you know, I've heard former players say, it's hard to prep for football if you don't play football. So at a minimum, there's like, hey, are you going to get on the field for a game? If not, you know, he could, you know, it could be tough just kind of going in cold. But even just getting in for practices, at least that's getting your body used to, you know, doing the movements, doing the activity, running full speed at times, things like that. But, you know, without getting hit, I wonder for a lot of these guys, how quickly are they going to get acclimated? That's why we've seen the last couple of years in the NFL, teams either start out slow or just the play itself doesn't look always great enough, you know, until maybe 2 or 3 weeks get into this. So I don't know. I mean, it seems to me if he's not in – at this point, I'm kind of saying if he's not in there by the Ravens joint practice, so that's the Bengals game is on the 18th and the Ravens comes shortly thereafter. If he's not there by that, I think we're not a point of no return, but a point where we're in the red, where things are starting to get concerning. If he's back in the next few days, even if he doesn't play in the Bengals game, then it's probably not that big of a deal. The first game isn't until, you know, early September. You still have a few weeks to get going. And, I imagine Terry is – in good shape. I know he's on the pup list with his ankle injury, but something tells me if he signed the contract tomorrow, we'd see him on the practice field immediately. So I don't know about that ankle, but sooner the better, I guess I would say would be ideal.
No, for sure. And I will answer my own question then, since you set me up so nicely at the start of that answer, from like the physiological training side of it. The things I would be worried about are less like the contact element. Yeah, there are definitely, if you talk to NFL guys, like there's a callusing that happens that's more important, I think, on the inside than the outside. But I think the biggest thing is how much high speed running has he done? Like, especially considering his route tree and the tempo of this offense, can he not necessarily pass the basic conditioning test, but can he do enough high speed running where his hamstrings aren't at risk? And depending on what he's doing right now and how severe or not that ankle injury is, he might actually be doing some of that right now and maybe even a lot of it. So he might be able to jump right in and kind of be fine. If he's not doing that, that's going to be a ramp up period. Obviously, then taking contact and running through contact is another adjustment period. But I think given Terry's fitness and given his position, he can hopefully make that a little bit quicker. They won't skip steps, but there won't be too many steps to skip. So that would be the that would be how I answered that if I had a Substack, Ben. Ben Standig with us here on the Hoffman Show. Okay, when you look at the receiver room down chain, and I feel like we just generally throw out like, hey, this isn't going great, and then we skip to like who's going to be wide receiver 6, and we kind of skip over the who is actually wide receiver 4. When you look at Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey, the two guys most likely, or if you want to include like a Michael Gallup or anyone else that you want to throw in this mix, Ben, like who else besides Noah Brown, Terry McLaurin, and Deebo Samuel do you think plays significant wide receiver snaps in 2025 if everyone's healthy for the Commanders?
Yeah, I mean, based on what we've seen in training camp, Jalen Lane has looked pretty good. I know one of my concerns, not concerned, but I was like, hey, I'd like to see him, can he make plays down the field? Because looking at the Virginia Tech highlights, it's not really a lot of those because they didn't have particularly good QB play and offense in general. There was a lot of get the fast guy the ball as soon as possible and let him go from there. And Cliff Kingsbury kind of said as much, you know, in terms of wanting to see what this kid could do. Well, we've seen Jalen Lane in practices make plays down the field. So that part seems to be good. He even, you know, made, you know, one of the bigger better catches in practice where he jumped over two defensive backs in the back of the end zone to make the play. Maybe he technically had a foot out of bounds when he came down, but close enough for these purposes. But he's, you know, mainly a slot guy, and that's where Deebo Samuel is going to work out of a lot. So it's not that you can't use them both. It's just that they're not necessarily – like the fourth receiver in my head would typically be somebody you'd want on the outside. And I don't know who that person is. You know, ideally it would be Luke McCaffrey. And I know Cliff Kingsbury said the other day he's you know, happy with the progress McCaffrey's made. From what we can see, he's having a hard time creating separation on the outside. And, you know, that's going to prevent him from being out on the field, even if Noah Brown or, you know, misses time, what have you. Then there's the Michael Gallup and Chris Moore and KJ Osborne level. I mean, Chris Moore was out there with the ones a bit yesterday. He's 32. I just don't see there being a lot of upside here. Michael Gallup, you know, he was retired last year because of injuries, has come back. He's a professional receiver. He's polished. But again, in terms of like a pretty decent-sized role, I just don't know if I see it right now. Plus, he doesn't play special teams, so that makes it harder to keep him. And KJ Osborne, kind of like last year where he came in after really a bad year with the Patriots, bad half year, comes to Washington, doesn't really play at all. You know, and he's had a moment or two in camp like everybody kind of does, but he, again, has been relatively quiet, and I haven't seen enough to say, boy, he's refound his stride that he had earlier on in his career with the Vikings. So you look at all that, and you're like, man, I really don't know what to think of this. If you told me that, you know, wide receiver 5 or 6 is currently playing on another team, just like Noah Brown was last year, I wouldn't be floored by that. If you tell me they only keep 5 receivers in general, counting McLaurin, that wouldn't surprise me either. If they want to keep an extra running back or tight end or what have you. So, I don't know. To me, I'm just concerned about that room because they don't have I don't see the athletic upside there. Where at least, like, look, Deombe Brown last year, none of us were going, oh, look at this guy. He's going to get a $10 million contract when the season's over. But we knew he had speed. We knew he could make plays downfield. The very first play that Jaden Daniels made in preseason last year was a 41-yard bomb to Deombe Brown on an audible, and that was a sign of what was to come to a degree. I just don't know right now who that guy would be here. Maybe it's one of the younger guys, a Ja'Cory Brooks or someone like that, but this is going to be a really interesting game to see if any of these vets can stand out and show that they're, you know, really worthy of a high depth chart spot.
That Noah Brown point is so good, and I hadn't thought enough about that yet, that, like, yeah, every once in a while we kind of throw away, say, like, oh, well, you know, all these teams are going to make cuts, and there'll be, you know, the 53 that's named on the cut day won't be the same as the 53 that opens the season. It's like, yeah, no, that, like, let that sink in for a second, that there will be other signings made. That's a great point. Ben standing with us here on the Hoffman Show. When you look on the other side of the ball, Ben, at the defensive line, how did they do yesterday in the joint practice? I feel like we've talked a lot about the secondary, and there's now the, you know, how much better is, or how good do we think it actually is, because they kind of struggled compared to what they've done in Ashburn, and we just talked about the receiver room, all that. Maybe we'll get to that in a second. Maybe we'll run out of time. I want to focus on the D-line first. How did the D-line play yesterday against that Patriots O-line?
Yeah, so I'm going to be, you know, super, like, honest. As you know, having been out of these joint practices,
you were on the other field and you have no idea. So I gave you that big, long setup, and then I put you in a terrible spot. I just threw you over, like, it's 2004, and I just threw you over the middle into Junior Seau.
No, I mean, you know, like, look, when Jaden Daniels is on the field, you're going to watch the offense, right? Which is also the same time that the first team defense is probably going up against Drake May. Then when there were, like, the more individual drills, they were taking place at the far end of the field. So even with binoculars and watching what I could, you know, context is not always so great. I mean, I know they felt pretty good about that. Dietrich Wise after the game said he thought that they played pretty good physical brand of football, and that's, of course, what they're looking to accomplish. You know, I could see Von Miller still showing he's got that good bend coming around the edge. But, you know, I can't sit here and tell you Daron Payne dominator, Johnny Newton, you know, look a lot better. But, you know, look, obviously I think they have more depth in general at on the line. And, you know, even if they don't have an obvious, say, Pro Bowler, I think they have more confidence in like their top eight or nine guys that they can use. So, you know, I think that is all positive. And, you know, where I was seeing New England get the better of Washington was mostly in the passing game. Even in the 11s that I could see, I didn't, you know, I wasn't like I was seeing Travion Henderson get big runs or things like that. So to that end, I think it was positive, but you know, I'd be lying if I told you, I have a definitive thought that the line is much better or worse or what have you.
All right. Well, let me ask you this then. Who are the guys in that group who you want to keep a real keen eye on tomorrow night in the game? So we're knocking out Von Miller. We're knocking out Dietrich Wise. We're knocking out Daron Payne. Like, those guys aren't going to play. So are there D-line spots up for grabs? And if so, who are you watching there?
Yeah, I mean, look, Javonte Jean-Baptiste is one of the players that didn't make the trip. So he's out for tomorrow. And he's one of the guys who I would say is, you know, sort of on that bubble group. I think Jacob Martin's is interesting. They signed him this offseason. He's been the guy who's played a bit in the league. He's actually, I think, the third oldest defensive lineman besides, I think, not named Von Miller or Dietrich Wise. I think they're the only two that are older. But, you know, he's been productive. But now that you have Von Miller and, you have some of these other pieces, does he really have a role here? If he can be effective tomorrow, I think that goes a long way towards keeping him. I think Jalen Holmes was a guy who was effective last year when he played mostly on the end, can play a little inside. But, boy, it's going to be tough for him to make this team. Sheldon Day is another guy as well. And maybe it's not a big of a deal, or maybe, you know, maybe they take advantage of Baptiste out and make these plays. But, you know, if they can shine, it'll be a lot harder for them to be on the wrong side of the bubble. But right now, you know, if they're keeping nine defensive linemen, I don't know how those guys are making the team exactly. So I think some of those guys would be the ones, you know, I also would just say this, it goes for any position. If there are players who are playing in this game that you're kind of like, huh, I would have thought he was a lock. I don't mean the younger player. Like, I could see all the rookies playing. But some veteran, the way Jahan Dotson played deep into the first half last year, when you're like, wait, why is he out there? That's a sign that maybe they're more in trouble than we think. So I think that's the other thing to look at, whether that's on the defensive line or any spot.
That's a great point. Ben Standig with us here on the Hoffman Show. Again, check out his Substack. Last Man Standig is where you can get it. That's also access to his podcast, which you can also just get through your podcast apps, et cetera, et cetera. Perhaps the thing I'm most excited about for tomorrow night, Ben, is the linebacker play, because you know Bobby and Frankie aren't going to play. So that leaves, I don't know, a half, three quarters probably for Dominique Hampton and Kane Medrano to go out there and run around, and let's see what they can do. What are your early impressions of those two guys and how they fit in, and what else should we be looking for on the linebacker level tomorrow?
Yeah, well, look, I know your cohort, Logan Paulson, is a fan of Dominique Hampton, and you know, we didn't see much of him last year. You know, basically, it's kind of a redshirt season, but he's one of these guys. He's this, you know, hybrid linebacker, safety, you know, Big for a safety, you know, a little bit lighter for a linebacker, but he can move and hit. Well, let's see him get out there and see if he's a guy that can actually contribute to the team this year. But then there's Medrano, who they brought in. You know, they drafted him as a sixth-round pick. He was the fastest linebacker at the combine. Special teams probably makes him a fairly safe bet to make the team, but he started to make more plays on defense the last few practices. And, you know, I think he's got pretty good instincts. The rep is that he's got to work on his tackling, but it seems like he has a good feel of where to go. So I'm with you. It would be exciting to see those two guys. And, you know, look, frankly, I don't know that either of the, and also no Jordan McGee, who didn't make the trip with an injury. You know, Quinn said none of the guys who were stayed back are significant injuries, he doesn't believe. But this is also where Jordan McGee was a year ago, where injury in the preseason kind of derailed his year. I'm not going to assume that everything's okay. Hopefully it will be. But if not, then one of these other guys is probably going to have to fill in a significant amount. So, yeah, it's a good opportunity for these guys to show what they can do in a situation where they're going to have to play a lot because of, you know, older guys or guys that are hurt.
How has McGee looked, by the way, in camp? We know that they had big plans for him. Like, what have those plans look like, and how has he looked in them?
Yeah, I think he's looked fine. You know, the athleticism is obvious, good size. You know, again, I just like how the run game is hard to evaluate in camp because there's no, you know, there's no tackling for the most part, and not every day is with pads. McGee's specific role on defense is to be, you know, it sounds like they want to use him a lot when teams go with two and three tight ends and, you know, want to run the ball. Last year, Washington used nickel packages more than any team in the league, and that makes them undersized against the run. So McGee against the run is something I think I definitely want to see. We need to see a bigger sample size of that. But, you know, when he's out there, you know, his ability to move, the athleticism, all that really stands out. I know they also talked about, you know, he's too big for most running backs to deal with on the blitz situation. So there's a lot of ways to use him. But as we know, availability is the best asset you can have. And right now it's been a little bit of a hiccup so far.
That was a good remix, Ben, on the, to not use the classic version of the cliche. I thought you were just going to go for it.
You know, you gotta shake it up. I gotta have a new clip for Anthony, so I gotta say some different things here.
Hey, that's a man who's thinking. That's a man who's thinking strategically. Anthony, is there anything from this particular hit with Ben that you feel like is really, really good open material?
I think I can mess around with some stuff.
Okay.
I think.
Does the phrase "I'm gonna mess around with some stuff" terrify you?
100% in this. AI deep fake era. I don't know what's real and fake anymore. So yeah, very concerned.
For real, you can go and search The Last Man Standing, and you will find Ben Standing's Substack, where you can get all of his Commanders coverage. Do that. Support Ben and the journalism that he is doing, breaking stories, providing analysis, the whole deal, audio, video, podcasts, the whole thing there on Substack. Ben, best of luck as you continue to grow that. I know it's going great so far. Would love to see that continue to succeed for you, and it's a pleasure always having you on the show, dude.
Guys, always appreciate it. Talk soon.
All right, that's Ben Standing, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. He's very smart. Coming up next, something that's occasionally very, very dumb. It is time, what an introduction, for Never Read the Comments next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
This here is the Hoffman Show. It's on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and YouTube, where you can stream us at the Team 980. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, John Keim. Yeah, that guy, Johnny Cakes. Johnny Cakes' Keim version, not Johnny Cakes' Auville, not the Junkies version. He did join Take Command this morning, fresh off of his flight back from New England, where he was at joint practice. So you will hear just some of that conversation, because we talked for so long that the whole thing's not fit for radio. It's not like the content was inappropriate, Anthony. It's not like Cakes was swearing up a storm. It's just we have time constrictions on the radio that we don't have on the podcast. So if people want the full length, they can listen to the podcast.
Was Keim long-winded, or did you guys just have a lot to get to?
Why? Por qué no los dos? John, I love John. He's thorough. I will say that. John is a reporter's reporter. That man is thorough. That man is thorough. Sometimes as a question asker, I will like, man, it's been a while since I said something. But I'm never, as a listener, like, oh, I wish he would stop talking. Those two things can be true. So we will get into our conversation with Cakes from Take Command coming up at 6:15 today. Right now, though, Anthony, we have not done this in a while.
A long while, man.
I literally cannot remember the last time you hit this magical button.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yes!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, let's get to it, shall we? Let's read some comments. And we have two big topics this week. We have the Commander's secondary and Joe Witt saying nice things about it and people responding before and after the joint practice where things reportedly didn't go quite as well as they had been going in Ashburn. And then we have the Terry McLaurin contract. Terry. We start off, though. We always, Anthony, remember, we do an amuse-bouche. We just get the palate warmed up a little bit.
Yes, sir.
And this one, this seems like an innocuous comment. Just a nice comment, actually. Talking, I think this was on our chat yesterday with Joel Corey, the CBS sports analyst and former NFL agent who is the best contract analyst in the game. We talked to him about a whole bunch of detailed stuff with the McLaurin negotiations, and he was great. And it said, like this insight, thanks for getting away from the pure speculative drama that's all over social media on this topic. And to that comment, I say, you're welcome. You know who I say it to, Anthony?
Who?
Pete's Monkey Trousers.
Wow, man, these names, man.
I just wanted to, that's honestly why I did that. People are like, oh, cool, thanks. Way to start off with a self-congratulatory comment. Nope, that's not why I picked this one. Pete's Monkey Trousers could have said about anything, and I'd want to read a comment from Pete's Monkey Trousers.
Yeah.
So Pete's Monkey Trousers, you're welcome.
Yeah. I gotta look those up.
Just for you. What, do you think there's something called Pete's Monkey Trousers?
Hey, possibly.
Now I'm interested. Anthony, Google away. Just be careful. It's a work computer.
I didn't find much.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's just his handle.
Yeah.
Pete, or your monkey trousers? We need a story.
Yeah.
This one's from the Red Squirrel. This we're reading because of substance, not because of the name, although the Red Squirrel is a pretty good one. The Red Squirrel underscore, Anthony, not to be confused with the other Red Squirrels. Talking about the Commander's secondary, and specifically the corner position, this is in response to our pick six the other day where Joe Witt is pretty encouraged by what he sees. He's a coach. He's never happy, but I thought this was a great perspective. He says, or she, the Red Squirrel, could be a she, we started last season with Forbes, Davis, and Juice. Now, Lattimore, Mike, and Amos. Huge difference. And man, when you put it that way, that is relevant. Last year, we were holding on to the hope that Emmanuel Forbes would not be terrible, that Benjamin St. Juice could take his really good snaps that were real and that he had and have them be all the time, or at least way more often. And we saw that just in clutch moments again and again, he just goofed. And then we're hoping that the early returns that we saw in training camp from Michael Davis were not what he was going to be. And that's basically what he was. So I think this year the hope is that, okay, Sanders still, we know it's not going to be amazing every single day in the slot in the NFL because that's the nature of slot, but like we think it can be pretty good. And I think the thing with Sanders still, especially this year, like he'll be more solid and more consistent as the years go because he's a young player still in the NFL and he barely played any slot last year. But I think because Mikey has a propensity to turn the football over so much, whatever struggles he might have, and he did have them yesterday with DeMario Douglas, who's an excellent slot receiver for New England, where he gives up some yards, he'll not only make it up later with incompletions and, you know, bat a pretty good percentage, I think he's going to be a high home run hitter. And if he can get 5-6 interceptions on the year, a couple other punch outs, play well in the run game, like that's an excellent season in year two for Mike Sanders though.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the, you know, positives I took away from yesterday's practice. Like, he might have gotten beaten by, you know, Mac. He might have gotten beat by Pop Douglas. But guess what he also did? When he had an opportunity to get an interception.
Yep.
He came down with the ball. And I think takeaways are very important. And Joe Witt and what Dan Quinn and them did in Dallas, I think we're going to slowly but surely see that matriculate with this group.
No doubt about it. Lattimore obviously still finding his footing, but like athletically looks back. It's now just fine-tuning the timing, which is exactly what training camp is for. That's not a criticism. It's just a fact. Mm-hmm. We'll see if he can get it done by week one. That's a TBD. And then obviously Trey Amos has been, I think, the star of the secondary in training camp. So very excited to see that. Manny Marr says, this is exactly what I needed to hear, talking about Joe Witt and what he had to say and what I had to say about what Joe Witt had to say. Lots of saying. I know our boys are going to surprise a lot of people this year. A lot of lockdown coming up. Of course, that was right before the joint practice where a lot of people said that the Patriots offense got the better of the Commanders defense. And that also goes into our next comment from Jakery1057. This was on our chat with Mitch Tischler yesterday where he was very positive about how the Commanders performed. And Jake says, it's funny that Boston media is stating Patriots offense was the best out of the four units. Pat's offense, Pat's defense, Commanders offense, Commanders defense. Best out of the four, as Daniels dinked and dunked to Ertz and never threw downfield, as the Patriots in May hit a lot more explosive plays and air yards at a high percentage. I guess the truth is somewhere in the middle. It's a glorified practice and a little ways from live fire. We shall see soon enough. And I think that's fair, right? Like, no doubt the numbers are there that, like, Drake May went, I think, 10 of 12 in team drills, and he had a couple of drops. So, like, he was on point, and there were guys open and available, and he made plays. But also that 10 of 12 might have actually been 8 of 10 or 6 of 10, like, if there had been pressure that was allowed to actually hit him and the pass rush was more real. Like, we just don't know. And so that's why I think the who wins practice thing is definitely a little bit overrated. Anthony, I understand it's why people do it. In sports, we're looking for winners and losers. In storytelling, we're looking for heroes and villains. And it's not very fun to get on the radio or to be a guest and call in and say, yeah, there's a lot of nuance here. There's no clear winner. They're not even keeping score. Both sides on some level accomplish what they want to. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, and that's why, like, I think this comment is actually correct, right? The truth is somewhere in the middle. The Boston folks who were seeing it through Patriots color glasses and seeing the good things the Patriots did, those were real. But also, I think, you know, folks like Mitch who were like, yeah, the Commanders had a pretty freaking good day yesterday. I think there's a lot of truth into what they're saying as well.
Yeah, when you were out and Doc was in, I was going to camp every day, being his eyes, his ears, his boots on the ground. And he used to get so upset with me talking about, oh, the Commanders offense won today or the Commanders defense won today. He's like, dude, it's practice, no pass. Like, it's pointless for real. Right. So
they executed it at a higher level.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. And, like, I think early on in camp, like, it was definitive and declarative enough between the Commanders offense and defense that, like, the Commanders defense did win some days. And look, you know, watching Hard Knocks last night, Thurman Thomas is at Bills camp and he breaks down the huddle, the Bills legend. And he's like, first thing, that's defense one, offense zero. And you're like, damn, Thurman. So, like, players do it too. Former players, current players, like, it's not like we just make this stuff up in the media for funsies. But I think if your goal is to understand what's happening, not just keep an arbitrary score that doesn't matter because they don't keep records in August. And they certainly don't give you wins or losses for your offense or your defense winning or losing against each other, nevertheless, or a joint practice. But if you want the understanding to be able to take the good, the bad, put it in context of the situation, what's the drill, how is it designed, should the offense win, should the defense win, did someone overcome that? Like, that's how you really learn about the game this time of year and try to make educated guesses on what could happen. But then again, you know, if you watch Logan Paulson and Ryan Kerrigan go head to head every day in Commanders camp, you would have thought Logan Paulson was an all-star tight end and Ryan Kerrigan was a schlub. Because Logan, over years of practicing against Ryan, just like figured out how to block him. And there's only so much you can do. Then Ryan Kerrigan would go out and get double-digit sacks against everybody else because other guys didn't play Ryan Kerrigan every week. So, like, that's sometimes it's just weird matchups in training camp. There's only so much you can read into it. But this is why the joint practices are so valuable to play against someone else. Cause, you know, Logan, and I use that example cause we talked about it specifically on Take Command. Logan's job wasn't to learn how to block Ryan Kerrigan. Logan's job was to learn how to block. And so getting exposure to different players on your team, and then once you run out of those, getting some on other teams and joint practices and in preseason games, like, that's really valuable stuff.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, on to the Terry McLaurin of it all. Quint OG-X2F, not nearly as fun to say as Pete's monkey trousers. Quint OG-X2F says, I agree with you that we need Terry and we probably don't go as far without him. However, we must trust AP to do the right thing here. Personally, I don't want my emotional reasoning involved with this deal. Plus, we really have no idea what Terry is really asking for. These reports seem suspect. I like this comment a lot because I think it's mostly correct. We don't know what Terry's asking for. We don't know what the team is offering. We know, for instance, Jeremy Fowler said today they are about $7 million apart, which will take many minutes to resolve. $7 million apart, somewhere in the 25-ish range probably for the team and somewhere in the 32-ish range by doing the math. That's $7 million, looking at what else Jeremy said and what else has been out there. My guess is that's kind of where they are right now. Terry's side is asking somewhere between 32 and 34. The team is offering somewhere between 25 and 28. And depending on who's at, I mean, Terry's side, all of those numbers are out of range. Team side, once you get to the 28 number, now I feel like we can start realistically saying like they're in a place where a deal could get done. The one part that I, on a baby amount, disagree with, and I'm wrestling with this a lot right now, because I am such a big fan of Terry, and so are they, just to be clear. But if you preach that character and work ethic and going about your business the right way, treating people right, all that stuff matters to you as an organization, not just because it makes people feel good at work, which is valuable and helps create a better work environment that produces better results, but because it produces better results, it directly leads to winning. Like, that has value to winning football games, nevertheless, emotional value, right? If you think that matters, then don't you have to reward that on some level? And then the other thing that I just don't know, because I don't know enough about how their analytics work and how their data sets factor and what numbers they're looking at to make their arguments, is how much are you factoring in what he does for everyone else coverage-wise? Because I do think that there is, and this is obviously not the emotional part, which is what Quint's comment had. And so I, you know, when he says, I don't want my emotional reasoning involved with this deal, like, I do think there has to be some. It's just really hard to put a dollar value on that. You don't get a good guy bonus or a good guy bump that's the same for every player, but like, you know, you do have to make a human decision to say, like, I'm not going to mess with this guy too much because he's the heart and soul of our team. But on the other side of it, like, is it just purely catches, yards, touchdowns? Like, I think that's an oversimplification of the data that the team is using because they're a smart front office. My guess is there's some numbers that would probably be good for Terry of, for instance, Jaden's QBR or whatever stat they use when Terry's on the field versus not. Like, those are really important data points as well because it paints a larger picture of the effect that the player has on the team as opposed to just purely fantasy stats and counting stats. So that's – I would be curious to know what kind of factors are in their equations, if you will, and how they then reach the conclusions. We'll never get that information. Zero shot that is ever publicly available. But it is the kind of thing that I do wonder about, Anthony.
No, it definitely is something curious. And I'm curious about whether or not the deal that Mike Evans has with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers also affects what's happening with Terry. Because, again, you look at a guy like Mike, who's only he's on a two-year, $41 million deal. Like, that doesn't help Terry at all. But guess what? He's also been a model citizen for that organization. He's one of the faces of the organization. And this is what they paid him. So why would we, you know, pay you all this extra money that you're trying to demand?
Right. And, like, respectfully to Terry, who I think is a Ring of Fame guy here in D.C., Mike Evans is a Hall of Fame guy.
Yeah.
Like, Mike Evans is absolutely a Hall of Fame player. Now, I think the argument can certainly be made that Mike Evans is 2 years older than Terry. So he signed that extension this offseason. He is actively – He's 1 year and change older than Terry. So Mike was 30 at the age of – no, I apologize. He's 2 years older. So he turns 32 in August on the 21st. So he signed that extension at the age of 31, entering his age 32 season. Terry is still 29 now. By week two or three in the season, his birthday is mid-September. Yep. He will be 30. So he's entering his age 30 season. So for Evans to get $21 million in new money in his age 32 season, if I'm Terry's age and I'm like, yeah, of course he got less because he's 2 years older. You want to talk about what Terry's number is going to be 2 years from now? Okay. But like, it's not 2 years from now. It's now. And you look at Mike Evans' last 2 years where he's been over 1,000 each year and helped them be a really freaking good offense with Baker Mayfield at the helm. Then, like, let's look at what Mike Evans should have been making then. And that's a number that I would want for my client if I'm Terry's agent. I think the number that crushes him is the Cortland Sutton number. And Terry's better than Cortland Sutton. But is he $7 million a year better? And if Sutton's getting 23, is Terry then 30? Like, that's a harder argument to make.
Yeah.
And that's the one that I think, like, the DK number's messing it up for the team. I think the Sutton number's kind of messing it up for Terry. James Robinson, 8623, says, hey, and this was in response. We did a segment where I actually built a contract that I thought was actually kind of fair to everybody and did it in Spotrac's contract management tool. But James said, hey, great idea, but I wanted to definitely correct you on something that Terry is not going to lack, and his production is not going to change when he's 33. And the reason is because Terry McLaurin is not your average guy. He's not going to be your average 30-year-old receiver. He came to the league, I think, when he was 20 or 19 years of age, and he's not banged up like these old dudes that came out of his draft. But all computer dictates that when a man turned 33 or in his 30s, he's going to be a lack of production. But this case is totally different. One, no, he came in as an older player. What you're trying to say in making the Terry first argument is that he didn't actually play a ton his first couple years at Ohio State, and thus he's going to be fresher. And that is an argument. The general point James tries to make here is one that you can try to make. The problem is you can't guarantee it, and you can't give out a contract on vibes. Which leads us to, I think, this next group of comments, Anthony, which is where we'll more or less wrap up. From Brittany, who commented on that same thing where I built a contract out that I thought was fair to both sides. Brittany says, this is depressing AF because why isn't AP doing this? After this breakdown, I'm even more upset. Steve says, what happened to that contract guru we had? I think his name was Sosna, talking about Ben Sosna, the contract guru who is in the Commander's front office. Or St. Waugh says, if we're that simple, the deal would have been done since March. The real question that needs to be asked is, why didn't Terry force an extension last season instead of this season? Was his reluctancy because of possible QB play? That's the real issue, because age wouldn't be such a big comp slash conversation. I think what all of these comments have in common is they don't take into a fact that it takes two sides to agree to a deal. Like, you can't just say, why didn't Terry do it last year? One, he would have been trying to negotiate a longer extension, and he had 2 years of money left. So the Commanders just be like, we're not doing an extension with you now. Please go back to the practice field. Get out of my office. So, like, you can't just force your way into something. What was he going to do? Hold out with 2 years remaining? He has zero leverage. Okay, buddy, sit out. Like, we don't care. Like, What do you think you're doing? Who are you? You're not. This is not the Terry McLaurin we're about. Like, Terry's also not a diva like that. Now, in entering the final year with no guaranteed money remaining beyond this, that's when you want the extension, because you want to strike while the iron's somewhat hot. And in his case, very hot, because he's coming off a career year. And then you talk about, like, and I responded to Brittany, and she was like, that's a good point. Why isn't AP doing this? He might be. We don't know. Like, that's the thing. And then, you know, Benjamin Sosna, yes, he's a contract guru in terms of making things work with the cap, and, like, he'll finesse and massage the numbers to make it as team-friendly as possible on the cap side of it, while Terry and his agent are still happy with the cash flow. But he can't – his magic wand is with, like, computer spreadsheets and moving money around in different columns, not to make someone – you can't bop Terry on the head with a magic wand to make him agree to a deal. So, like, if you're just pay the guy, or you're, Terry needs to stop asking for so much. You don't know what the contract offers are right now. And it takes two sides to agree. And if you want to be smart talking about this stuff, I know that's not a very exciting place to be, but that's the accurate place to be. All right. Last but not least, Anthony, real quick. Fun times at the end. A dessert bringing us all the way back around. Remember, like, months, at this point, maybe a year ago, we had that meeting with CK, our boss, and he told us we can't, or I can't use the phrase bottom of the hour anymore.
Oh, yeah.
No one knows what it means. And yep. Then we did a segment on it. Well, M. Hager7 found that segment and said, Google brought me here. I just used bottom of the hour with my work team, and I was dumbfounded that nobody knew what it meant. So I think that's a point for CK, but M. Hager's on my team. Bottom of the hour, when this segment started at 5:30, because it's the bottom of a clock, 12, 6. Anyway, I still think that argument is unresolved.
Top of the hour.
I don't say it anymore, or if I do, I immediately catch myself and correct it or clarify what it means so the audience knows. So, for instance, at the top of the hour, when we get back at 6 o'clock, we'll talk about the Hard Knocks last night. Bills episode 1 is out. We both watched it. And plus, what can we look ahead for as we are refreshed on the beauty of Hard Knocks when the Commanders are featured as part of the NFC East later in the season? Then coming up at 6:15, which is quarter past for those that are keeping track, we will hit you with some of John Keim's thoughts from yesterday's practice from Take Command. That's Never Read the Comments here on The Hoffman Show.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart,
for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.